Hi, this is Tom Payne, otherwise known as Jesus from The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through.
Hi guys, this is Nadia Hilker. I'm playing Magna on The Walking Dead, and you guys are listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast, and I'm sending you all my love. Bye!
Hello, my name is Cassie McClincy. I play Lydia on The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through. Yay!
Hey, I'm Lindsley Register, and I play Lara on The Walking Dead. You're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey there, guys. I'm Callan McAuliffe, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Survivors, welcome to episode 128 of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Brian.
And we will be covering The Walking Dead Season 11, Episode 5, titled Out of the Ashes. And LT is not able to join us tonight. He might join in later, so when he does, well, we'll definitely welcome him back.
It was one of those, like, he was going to join us, he was going to join us, he was here, and then he got summoned away.
But hopefully he will return, but we'll just kind of take over.
Literally 5 minutes before we started recording.
Yep. But first, we did get some feedback from last week's episode, Season 11, Episode 4, Rendition. And it actually comes in a voicemail from Renee. It is a two-parter, so I will try to hit them right after another. But we'll start with Renee.
Hi guys, this is Renee from Atlanta, and I'm calling about the Walking Dead podcast. I just wanted to call in. I'm going to give my feedback online as well, but I want to call in on last week's episode, last week's feedback. First of all, we definitely know, I guess this is going to be pertaining to this week as well, because we definitely know that it's not Elijah up on, that's burnt up, that's, on the cross or whatever it was, because he was in this week's episode. So we know that's in the route, which I didn't think that was him. I didn't think they was just gonna, because of the mask, I thought they was gonna try to, I think he's gonna be a part of the cast. I think he is gonna become a regular. But, I wanted to say this, Brian, you hit the nail dead on the head when you were saying what made the Pope and his minions a cult is when they started talking about religion. To me, once you start using religion to try to make people, drink the Kool-Aid, then that's when it becomes a cult to me. I mean, I'm a big religious person. I mean, I go to church. I'm a Christian, so I believe in God and all of that. But when you start trying to use it, manipulate it to make people bend to your will, that's when it becomes a cult to me. It's like Jim Jones, because the Pope started saying about the fire and God do stuff in the fire and God. No, God has never told anyone to take anyone and put them in the fire because they left someone behind. That's crazy. That you can't get any crazier than that. And the people that follow those type of people, to me, I feel like they got to have some type of screw loose, because I'm not going to be okay with that. You're not going to take someone and burn them up in a fire because they left someone behind. Come on now. Are you serious? Like, no, that's a cult. LT, sorry, that's a cult. It's a cult. You can't get no more cultish than that. And to me, with Negan, what made Negan a cult to me is when he had people saying, I am Negan, like I am God. See, when you use religion, then that's when you turn into a cult to me. I know that all people, Rick and the team, we all have did things, you know, to survive out there. Rick, you know, when he bit the man's neck, you know, his throat. But I agree with Rick when he did that, because the man was talking about raping his son and doing things to Michonne. I would have bit the hell out of their throat, too, if they was talking about doing that to my child. So I feel like we did things to defend ourselves. So it's, but Rick or no one else used religion to try to break people or try to, I am Rick, you know, you, in order to join me, you got to call me, I am, you know, no. Negan, he was kind of cultist too, because I forgot all about that, but he had people saying, I am Negan. I am Negan. Hi, guys. This is Renee from Atlanta calling in again about The Walking Dead. I got cut off. I did not realize that I was on there so long, but I kind of got, yeah, this cult thing. I want it to be over with. I'm sick and tired of the Reapers. I want them to end this, cut this crap out, move on. And I don't like Commonwealth either because it seems cultish as well. It reminds me of Woodbury with the governor. I mean, it looked like Andy Griffin Town. I don't think I'm going to like the Commonwealth either. I think what it is, I think I'm really over The Walking Dead. I love The Walking Dead. I'm a ride to the end, just like I did with Game of Thrones. And I just wanted to tell you guys when y'all was reading it last week, y'all was saying, D'Esta was saying that was Game of Thrones was her favorite show, and she hope it don't end like that. Y'all meant to say me. It was Renee. I was the one that was saying that. Because I love Game of Thrones, but I was so freaking mad when they did that to Daenerys Targaryen. She was my favorite. I didn't like it. Mad. And I think that's what it is. I'm over The Walking Dead. I'm going to ride it out, of course, because I'm a fan, but I just need them to just end it real quick, okay? And I got to get off the phone because I know it's going to cut off. Okay, guys. Love you guys. Y'all stay masked up. We missed you last week, pal, but talk to you guys later. Bye.
Thank you, Renee. Definitely.
Thank you, Renee.
Made some good points and definitely kind of, I'm going to go into it a little bit, but the Reapers, I definitely am kind of like, I'm not really in on that part of the story. I kind of want to go, which we'll talk about later, but it's just kind of like, it feels like a distraction. You know, it's kind of like just more filler than actually anything. But I mean, I guess we'll see where they're going to put Daryl or like what, you know, Leah, and if there's anything there. But, you know, it has nothing to do with the comics. You know, it's like they're not a part of that. You know, they're just adding this element to, I guess, create some more suspense, or, you know, like to give something for Daryl. I don't know.
Yeah. There was, we actually got some feedback on the same point. And since I was involved in this, it might have even been that I said it. I'm going to just, get right into it. It's from Dieta. She says, LOL, you guys got me and Renee's comments mixed up. I have never watched Game of Thrones. Smiley face, and smiley face. I just thought it was funny that both of you had to comment on that. It's funny because I don't know how we screwed that up, because I knew that that was Renee and not Dieta. And so I don't remember for sure if it was LT that said it, but I want to say that I think it was actually me. I think I was the one that screwed it up. So I did. I don't know. But but anyway, sorry about that, ladies.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll get to the rest of her comment in a minute. But I just wanted to add that because both of you had said it. So.
It happens because, like, you know, we're like kind of like, you know, taking everybody's feedback, putting it in the doc and going back and forth. But then as we're going through the show, it's like I can see it's like something got misplaced, or like, you know, it might have had like Dieta's name on it and when it should have been Renee. So these things happen.
Yeah. We try to do a better job, you know, with this this new way that we're recording, trying to make sure that all the feedback is in its right place before we start, because it was at one point we used to change a whole bunch of stuff in the middle of the show. We try not to do that so much anymore. But anyway, the one thing I wanted to add was when she said dead on the head about what I said. And I think that that's how you tell whether it's a cult. When LT was talking about the last night or last week saying that it wasn't a cult, that's where I thought that he was wrong, that there was definitely a cult vibe based on the whole religious end. I mean, they had a guy speaking in tongues. I mean,
yeah.
what's more religious than that? I mean, that's just, you know, I have to think that that is has to be him. So, or has to be a cult, you know, a religious cult thing, and doesn't make sense that they would get passed over, that that would make them the chosen ones. It would just mean, because if they were the chosen ones, they would still not be getting killed, right?
Right.
So, right. Like, how?
Yeah, it's like I didn't understand. That's the thing. It's like it doesn't ever really make sense or ever add up. But to them, I guess it does. But it's like, I don't know how, like, any of them could be like putting so much faith into this one person and then be like, oh, this is just the way it is. I mean, I don't know. To me, it's like, and I'll go into it whenever we get into our feedback for this episode, but it's just like, you know, there's some things that are just like, okay, to me, like, that doesn't make sense. Like, it doesn't make sense that, like, that's what I'm seeing, or like that people would think that way. Like, you're in this ZA that's been going on for how many decades now, or in a decade? I don't know. There's like this weird disconnect, and it kind of like you start losing that whole sense of, you know, like, oh, I'm watching like a like, not reality, but like, you know, I'm watching what this would be like if I was actually there myself. You know, disbelief, like suspend disbelief, and just for a plot point. I don't know.
Yeah.
So we had those minis on fear. So I think I've like been conditioned to be like, okay. anyways.
Yeah.
All right. And then Dieta went on. She said, okay, now about Leah, I understand about her being in the military special ops or whatever, so they have a bond, but that still doesn't match her killing people for no reason because your leader said kill them. I mean, you are saying because she felt a connection with Pope, she's okay with killing and terrorizing people, just trying to survive in the apocalypse for no reason. Lots of question marks. Unless she is suffering from some kind of mental disorder or being in the military, I don't see it. And I stand with my not believing she was or is a member of the group that is killing innocent people. Yeah, I mean, what we know about Leah is what we got from the episode with her and Daryl.
Right.
And she did mention stuff about like, oh, she had people, or that she like a, I don't even know if it was like a, like, what I don't, I, you know, of course I haven't gone back to go see it or whatever. She didn't speak anything about it, like her family or anything like that. It was just like she had people, and then she was at her little cabin, and then Daryl met her and this and that, and then she was trying to go out and like go back and find them.
She mentioned that, you know, she had been in Afghanistan, but I don't think she said she was with the Army or the Marines or something in Afghanistan, but and did two tours, I think is what she said, but if I remember correctly, and I may not, but she didn't mention anything about, you know, working for whatever military, you know, contractor or, you know.
No, right. And like, I thought, and of course, you know, yes, like you said, it's like, it could be wrong or I don't remember. I thought there, she said something about like she had people or she was with people or there was somebody like whatever. And then she was either going to go find them or like that was just like some side thing that the, you know, like whatever, like she left to go find someone. I guess it fits their narrative that they want to weave. So we'll just leave it at that. But I kind of agree that I'm like, I'm not really enjoying this Reaper side of it all. I just kind of,
right,
you know, it's like we have like these new characters. It's almost kind of like, don't just be like giving Daryl something to do just because he's not in the comics, you know, like,
right, right.
Like, it's just like, we don't really need that. It's like, might as well just stick to what has already been written and, you know, adapt from there. So,
right.
All right. Thank you guys for the voicemail and the Dieta for the feedback. But let's continue on with this week's episode. Again, episode 5, titled Out of the Ashes, written by LaToya Morgan and directed by Greg Nicotero.
Finally.
I know. And he's actually doing the next one.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. He seems to usually do like the back-to-back.
He has done back-to-back, but I mean, this is kind of a they used to have him do like the usually the first, the 16th, and maybe the 9th.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then sometimes maybe one other one. But now I guess it seems that that's how they're doing it, having directors do like two episodes at a time. And I know other shows have been doing that, and that this is the way that they've been doing it for like, I know Star Trek, Discovery and Picard have both been doing this kind of thing where they do two episodes at a time. Mm-hmm. And then they, you know, it makes sense, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes it seems like that he does it whenever it's like either like the end, like the finale or episode before the finale, or the first, like the openings or something like that. But he's doing this. He did this episode and he's doing the next one. But then what they showed on the sneak peek, or like, you know, like whatever after the show or after the show aired, it was like there's only three episodes left for this year. So, you know, it's like, is he going to do any more after this, or will he be like doing the one like when we come back after the break?
Right.
So, anyways, it's just, usually his episodes are usually really, really good. So it's good to have him there. Plus, well, we'll talk about it later, his little cameo. All right. The description from AMC.com was: Alexandrians encounter hilltop squatters. Eugene's group undergoes orientation at the Commonwealth. All right. Well, let's get into our ratings, and I'll start with mine. I gave it an 8.2 horse salted jerky that tastes bad. That was from Jerry.
I'll give it 8.5 doctors that are baking for no reason specifically. Very expensive bakers. How about that?
Yeah, that'll work. And LT, we'll cover his. He gave it an 8 out of 10 pretty eyelashes, which I almost used that too myself, but he took it.
You know, and the funny thing is, when she said that, I looked at him and was like, I don't see any eyelashes at all.
I saw the look on his face.
Yeah.
I just saw this. Yeah, that was kind of like the whole thing I was got into. All right. Well, that was our ratings. Let's go into our listeners' ratings. Dieta is our first one. She rated this episode 9 out of 10. Ice cream, ice cream. We all scream for ice cream. Ice cream emojis. Oh, shuck.
With a tongue out, hang out. Yeah. 7 out of 10. Handy info, says Glenn is from Toronto.
And Renee from Atlanta gave it a 6 out of 10. Woodbury 2.0. Thinking face, thinking face, thinking face. All right. Well, let's go into our awesome sauce.
Awesome sauce!
All right. Dieta from Detroit, she gave her awesome sauce as: Jerry, there's a breach alarm waking everybody up to fight the good fight. I know he had to get out there, but wash your hands, Jerry. Love how everybody came together to secure the wall.
And well, I'm just going to interject what I had to say about this one. It's like, where exactly was he peeing there? I was trying to figure that out, because it's like he's like peeing next to the screen door or something. It's like,
yeah. Yeah.
Is that where the bathroom is now? Anyway, so Renee had a response to that. She says, my sentiments exactly about Jerry not washing his hands. Puking face, puking face, puking face. Ew.
Well, he just didn't have time.
Yeah, he had some business to take care of. Yeah, so, you know.
All right. Well, next is Glenn from Toronto, and she gave her awesome sauce as: Judith staring down the bully with the pointy end. Yes. Negan stuck when Maggie threw her knife to kill that walker. And Negan and Maggie's buddy walker kill. Yeah, I kind of thought that was cheesy, and I almost was like, put it in my weak sauce, but it made for good TV.
And you may have liked Negan's duck, but it wouldn't compare to my duck that I saw just before we recorded. I was telling Kyle about. We have ducks on our where we live, and this duck was literally as big as my dog. I have never seen a duck so big here, so it just was. I had to take a picture of him. Anyway, Renee from Atlanta is next, and she says, cake emoji and ice cream emoji in the apocalypse. You can't get any more awesome than that. Then she says, little kick ass. Daryl's name for Judith is just like her parents, and that's a
hug what? Emoji.
Hug emoji? Mm-hmm. Hug emoji. Don't play with her. Say it again. I dare you. With strong arm emoji, strong arm emoji. Auntie Rosita stepping in and comforting Judith on another note. Why did Michonne think it was a good idea to just leave her kids like that? I don't like that at all. Rick died, so they think, and Michonne just walks away, rolling eye face, definitely a suspension of disbelief because, I don't know, no mother would do that. Shrug emoji. And the only thing I can say about that is she did it because the actor wanted out of the show. That's why.
Yep.
Otherwise, there's no way that, you know, would Rick have been off the show like he was? No. Would Michonne be off the show like she was? No. Would Maggie suddenly leave like she did and then come back? No. Why? Because the actors wanted them to. And, you know, I mean, let's face it. And in the case of, you know, Lauren Cohan, she goes off to do another show and she basically makes it so that, you know, well, if the show wasn't really successful, I could come back. And the show wasn't really successful, so she's back.
Yeah.
And that's all you need to know. So.
Well, yeah, and it's just, you know, it's like I get where, like, well, and I think we go into this later, so I won't go too much further into that. But it's like, you know, it is kind of hard to think about these characters actually being real human beings. And it's like, you know what? They can't be doing this for like the next 20 years. And still, yeah. You know, like they still have a life. They still have things that they want to do. Like, you know, they want to be like, you know, like there's other jobs that they can be doing. And it does suck because it's like we get invested in these characters. This Walking Dead has been going on for like a decade and a half now.
Yeah.
So well, like
not quite, but
well, close enough. But you know, it's like you got to remember these people. I mean, you know, it's almost kind of like could they just replace them with somebody else, and we would have just had to get adjusted to like, oh, this is the new Michonne.
If this was a soap opera or something, mm-hmm. Yeah. Playing the role of Michonne.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the thing, right? In a lot of times, an actor will, you know, get offered other parts or be, you know, get a chance to read for other parts because of their success with some TV role. And that leads to, you know, a bigger TV role. And that leads to a bigger series, et cetera, or movies. And, you know, that's what's happened with Danai Gurira. She got a chance to, you know, be in Black Panther and, you know, it's the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And, you know, she was in a big, very successful movie within the universe and, you know, plays a character that while not the, you know, lead is very prominent in the Black Panther movies. Plus the character of Black Panther is, or should I say the actor that played Black Panther unfortunately has passed away. So what does that mean? Well, I don't know, she might even be like, it might morph into being hers, you know, like maybe she'll be the Black Panther after this. I don't know, you know, but in any case, and because those make a ridiculous amount of money, she gets a chance to do other stuff. And she was also, you know, a playwright and producer on her own right. And she sold a show to HBO Max and all that. So, you know, it just happens. And in the case of, you know, Andrew Lincoln, he's got his kids growing up in the UK and they're getting older and he doesn't want to see, you know, he doesn't want to miss all of that. So, you know, he, one of those things, it's like either he's going to come back, he's going to go back, or he's going to, you know, one of three things is going to happen. Either he quits the show and goes back to be with his kids, or the kids come to the States, or he just stays in the States and misses it. Right. So,
right,
you know, yeah. I mean, none of those options are really great, but you know, the best option is probably the one he took for him. It's not the best option that he took for us, but it's the best option that he took for himself. And in the end, that's all that he has to do, is take the one for himself.
Yep.
Anyway. All right. Well, that's it for our listeners, Awesome Sauce. But we have Awesome Sauce from LT. So I'll read it and then I'll go right into my own Awesome Sauce eye. So first one is, the video from the Commonwealth reminds LT of Althea's tapes in Fear. And I just said more on this later because pretty much we all have more to say on this. But that was my take on it as well. That was what I thought originally myself. But then Kyle has another point that made a lot more sense. So the pretty small town air of the CW. And I thought, the CW network? Oh, Commonwealth. Okay. And then he says, some plot progress and some character development. Judith in particular. Yes, I agree. And then he says, Aaron getting all dark and badass. Yeah, I agree. And yeah, this was a good Aaron episode.
Yes.
And in fact, I will segue right into my own Awesome Sauce because my first one had a lot to do with Aaron. I said the cold open nightmare of Aaron's. Every bad guy group that Aaron's come up against so far. And I was thinking, the wolf that they show, wasn't he like actually a member of the wolves, that particular guy? I want to say it was.
Yeah, I thought it was, but I didn't check to see if there were, and they didn't mention anything on Talking Dead.
No, but like I was looking at it and thinking, isn't he a wolf, or was a wolf, and then also, you know, was one of the saviors. I don't know which savior it would have been, but probably was an actual savior. And then probably an actual whisperer. And then we actually know for sure that we saw Maze. And if you don't remember Maze, of course, that's Robert Patrick, who was in season 10, episode 19, One More. And I know that was an episode that I particularly liked. And I seem to remember you guys particularly didn't like it that much, but I liked it.
Yeah. Well, I would have to say, though, with the one saying it being an actual whisperer, that actually was none other than Greg Nicotero. I thought it was Beta at first, you know, because it seemed like I thought that the mask looked similar, you know, it was pretty quick, and I was kind of like, oh, there's Beta, you know, just assume. But actually, you know, Greg Nicotero made a little cameo, and this is the second one I guess he's done this season, but yeah. That was him.
Yeah, because I know he played one, he was the walker that bit Agatha.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, so to what, and again, more on this later, but I said something similar to what LT said about, I said, is Althea or Morgan at the Commonwealth now? And the reason why I said that is, of course, another recruiting tape or intro tape. And, you know, I think I put this somewhere later on in my notes, but, you know, this is supposed to be 2010. Wouldn't they be using DVDs?
Yeah. Or, I mean, there's still the DV tapes, you know, there's still the digital tapes or whatever they called. Gosh, I don't remember those anymore. But,
well, my point being that you'd think that they could just, you know, put it on a DVD or Blu-ray, because I think Blu-ray was out by that. But, well, for sure,
DVD recording
was. And, you know, because I thought about that and something you're going to mention later. Anyway, but we'll get back to that once you mention what you're going to mention. I said a little more than I was going to say at this point. The last thing I thought was cool. Well, not really cool. I basically just, well, you mentioned it. So, you know what? I put it in here because I didn't think anyone mentioned it, but it looks like you mentioned it. So I'll let you say it.
All right. Well, it was the Lydia spotting that the walkers are being herded. And I thought that was kind of cool just because, you know, it's like knowing that the like whispers were still like some of them were still around. And I kind of put the joke, it's like, oh, it's like seeing an old friend, because I kind of like this plot more better than the Reaper story.
Oh,
I thought it was just cool that it was like, you know, Lydia still, you know, is technically a whisperer. And when they're at Hilltop, you know, and she was like, wait, something's going on. And she's like, they're acting funny, like they're being herded. And that's how they basically found them. So I thought I thought that was kind of cool.
I called them Neo Whisperers.
Better way to say it. Yeah. Yeah, then the next thing was like Mercer and Princess, because I know this is kind of part of the comic, but I thought it was kind of cute. It was just like, it's, and of course the LT's like rating reference, but it was like the way when she said Mercer had beautiful eyelashes, it was just the look on his face. It was just, I mean, I know something's going on there that they're probably going to play with. And they were, they did a poll on the Talking Dead about like, you know, our merch, like, was Princess's like, you know, flirting or whatever, was that a ploy or was it actually really flirting? And it kind of was a little half and half. So, I mean, we'll see, but you know.
Yeah. That was kind of my take on it.
Yeah. It's like, I still think Princess though really does like him though.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I'm like, I think I'll stick with the half and half, but I'm siding on like, she kind of really digs him. And then of course, Connie and the scene from next week, if you got to see it, they did it in the Talking Dead. I was like,
spoiler. Oh.
Spoiler. I was like, whole.
I have not seen it.
Oh, holy snikey, A Quiet Place Part 3. I'll just say that. It was intense.
Are you saying that the scene was like A Quiet Place Part 3, or that there was a commercial for Quiet Place Part 3?
No, the scene. Okay. That's why I was saying.
That, see, that's also a spoiler because I haven't seen Quiet Place 1 or 2.
Oh, well.
Although it's available on Paramount Plus, which you can get at if you go to talkthroughmedia.com/Paramount Plus, which plug. We don't ever publicize on this podcast. But yeah, you can get your subscription through us. Won't cost you a thing. And we get a little thank you from Viacom CBS. Anyway.
All right, let's go into our weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
And surprisingly, we didn't get any from our listeners. So we will go into our own. LT, I'll just go into LT's and I'll give mine.
I'm surprised we didn't get any.
No, I know. I like when I was copying and pasting, I didn't. They kind of skipped over it. But LT goes on, he said, the punk kid bully reminds me of Beanie Kid that shot Carl. The Maggie's mob plot seems to be a grind and not really making any progress. And Brian's point in response to Yumiko's brother, which I think you're going to go into later.
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of now going into this LT, like with what I was saying, because like I thought it was weak. Just, I don't know. I was just really, really blah about the big kids playing with the walkers at that wall. It was like they're waving, like the big kid. He was like waving his hand in front of that one walker, pulling it away before it bites him. And then he's like, and then he picks on Judith and calls her a psycho. It's like that whole scene just seems so out of place to me. It's like, I mean, I guess kids are stupid. I mean, you know, they're kids, but like Alexandria is barely standing, and they're supposed to be starving, and it's like they're in grade school picking fights on the playground at recess. Like that's how I got this whole scene. And you know, it's like, haven't these kids just grown up in the ZA? It's like they've been through like a traumatizing experience with the Whisperers, but they're acting like nothing happened, and they're just doing stupid normal kid stuff that you would expect from normal kids and a normal world and not this one. Also it's just like I loved it when Judith like totally kind of called him, you know, like basically confronted him and like pulled the knife out or the sword or knife or whatever it was. And I so wanted them to just let her like cut him at least, because I thought that would be such a Carl thing to do. Because we've seen Carl like shoot a kid in the face at the prison.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. That whole scene, I don't know. It totally didn't sit right with me. It seemed very like out of place. And also this is Judith Grimes. And I just felt like they played it so weird and like childish, like grade school, like not in this, you know, current situation that we are living in, the zombie apocalypse.
They played it so that she was acting more her age versus her normal maturity level, and the kids reminded me of those kids that were in like Gage, right? The
Yeah.
Who just died. But remember those stupid kids that were acting up in Hilltop? Similar kind of thing. Reminded me of them. But worse, because they were younger, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, stupid kids being kids. But you know, you're right. They should know better, especially kids that have had to deal with enough things. You know, I could see kids, say, in the Commonwealth acting this way,
right?
Because
right.
they've been behind, you know, walls
relative secure safety.
Yeah, but these kids, no, you can't, especially considering all the damage and destruction that Alexandria's been through. It doesn't make a lot of sense that they would act that way, but at the same time, I can see it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's just kind of my whole thing. And then also at the beginning when there was the breach, and then that camera pans by, and there's like this walker eating this Alexandrian in the street.
Yes.
I was like, wait, again, how does this happen? It was like, did you forget where you were? Because like Alexandria is like basically in tatters and the walls need repairs and walkers are all around you. And yet somehow you let this walker sneak up against like behind you and then kill you. Like like even looked at the body. I even like went back and looked at the body, and it's like, okay, he had blood like kind of like coming out of his mouth and around his, like he had a bite on his neck, and then the walker's just eating his guts, and I'm like,
yeah,
like how does anybody let this happen?
Yeah, he's it's like, okay, I'm one-on-one with this walker, and not only does he bite me, but he kills me. And not only does he kill me, but he eviscerates me. And not only does he eviscerate me, enough time has passed that all of my guts are spilling out right on the street.
Right. It just, it was, gosh, these, like, I guess, like we've said, it's like, you know, your eyesight just and hearing go really bad in the CA.
Seems that way.
Yep. Yep. Well, that was all I had.
Well, I had two things. They're both the reason why. What did I give it? An 8.5? I don't know. An 8 maybe is more appropriate, because the things that, like, I really enjoyed this episode, but the parts that I didn't enjoy, it was because I found some like huge plot contrivances. And you know, you bringing up the stupid kids, you know, I guess that would have been a third contrivance, but I find it a huge plot contrivance that the Commonwealth would be as annoying to not allow them to contact their people, to put in so much paperwork that, you know, they can't. Like, it's not even like, you know, oh, well, we'll let you do that in, you know, 2 days. It's more like, oh, well, you know, you'll get to speak to someone in 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. What? Come on. That's insane.
Yeah.
So, it to me, it was, I understand why they protect themselves, and they probably had a lot to deal with where, you know, people are trying to take over their community. And so they, you know, put barriers in place to, you know, frustrate those people. But come on, I just didn't buy it. Like, it seems to me like if they're really concerned about other communities and, you know, want to make contact with them and want, because, you know, I mean, they got this big radio transmitter. It's got to be used for something.
Right.
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 So, you know, you're going to make it so that it's so much red tape to see it. I could see a little red tape, but there was just too much red tape for me. I just couldn't buy it.
Yeah.
Not to that extent anyway.
Yeah, and like that's what I got a little confused on though too, was just like I felt like Eugene and Yumiko and Princess and Ezekiel, like they went through this whole process with the Commonwealth about, like, you know, like they got drilled on like all the things, you know, like what did you do, like where do you poop, and blah blah blah, you know, like all this stuff. And then, you know, it was like the Commonwealth was also like asking them, it's like, where's your settlement? Like, who are you with? Like, they were trying to find all this information, but yeah, then they were sticking to their story being like, oh no, it's like, we were just together, like whatever. And then, you know, it goes into where it's like, Eugene's telling Stephanie like, oh no, it's like, we got to get back to our people. And then it's like, I don't know. There was just this disconnect to me. And unless I missed something.
No. I don't think you missed anything. I there was a disconnect. It's like, how did they get from asking about their settlement to the fact that you've been approved for,
citizenship?
Nowhere in the process do they ever ask, like, what is your purpose for being here?
Right.
That makes no sense at all. You know, like you would ask, like, what, you know, why are you here?
Right.
You know, I'm here to, you know, in order to make contact with you because my people need help. You know, I'm not here to stay here. I'm here, you know, to, you know, hope for, you know, trade or to whatever.
Right.
or to get help for my people, you know, and bring them here, you know, whatever it is. But it's kind of, it's weird.
Yeah. And then it was also like with our own people, it's like, why did you not think that this was permanent? Like, you know, it's like you went into this being like, oh, we're trying to get help, but we're not going to tell them about our other people, but we're scoping them out. But then it was all like, oh, now they're giving you jobs and like giving you like housing assignments. And then you're like surprised. And I'm like, well,
yeah.
Did you not think that they like, I don't know. Yeah. There was this whole disconnect of like, well, what's going, like, why didn't you guys know that? Or you were just like, your whole mission was just trying to find out who these people were, to find out if you could use them or steal supplies? Because asking them for help when they're just saying, hey, we want to know who your settlement is. And then you're like, no, we don't have a settlement. And then later you're telling Stephanie, oh, I need to contact my people and we're not staying here because we need to get help for them. You know, it's like, what? This is just kind of all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah.
There's a disconnect there between what they originally said and, you know, what they're saying now. So I agree with you. The other plot contrivance, and it's a pretty big one, has to do with, I didn't catch his name, but, Yumiko's brother.
Wasn't it Tommy?
Tommy. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, I have more to say about the actor later, but how is it that he is not a surgeon in there? Did he withhold that information? Did he tell them that he was a baker or something? It doesn't make a lot of sense to me that could be possible, you know? So.
Yeah, I won't bring it up now because I think you made a comment later, but like I bring this up later about kind of maybe just what I think about this whole exchange.
It's crazy because I mean it's obvious he's a thoracic surgeon. What's he going to do? He's going to operate on Ezekiel, you know, and why doesn't Yumiko realize that, does she not know that Ezekiel is sick? I mean, maybe she does that. I don't know. I think she does. Doesn't she? Mm. You'd think, you know, between the two of them, they'd say like, you know, all I need is a thoracic surgeon. Oh, my brother is a thoracic surgeon, you know?
Right.
And, you know, one of the first things she'd say is, you know, I need you to operate on my friend, you know, like it's just, it's crazy. And I will have more to say about it. You're right, but I will hold off until the what sauce, cause it's funnier there.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of what sauce, that is what we're going to now.
What?
And we have one what sauce from Renee from Atlanta, and she says, why are we still here with freaking Negan and Maggie? I'm sick of the storyline. They cannot and will not ever be able to coexist together, so stop it, The Walking Dead. Negan is so selfish that it's freaking unbelievable. I mean, if him and Maggie made it, why would some of the others not make it as well? If Negan could go back to I am Negan, he would. He's a trifling SOB. Cussing face. Yeah, I mentioned this later, and I'll mention it now, though, but it's like, I was on the walk, or the Talking Dead, like, I was surprised that there's actually people shipping Negan and Maggie, and some of the comments that they were saying on the Walking, or the Talking Dead, I was just like, wait, no, what? I do not make this happen.
Yeah, the idea that's just not right.
It's not right, and they're not going to do it on the show. People, obviously fans, they can do whatever they want. You know, fan fiction, go for it. You know, that's what it's for. But, like, I would not even stand for that.
Fans put Kirk and Spock together, but that doesn't mean the producers are going to do it.
Right, exactly. all right. Next, Renee says, seriously, Eugene, Princess and Ezekiel, you really thought they were not watching you guys? Question mark. And Yumika's brother, I just met him and I don't like him. He has drunk the Kool-Aid and I ain't no coming back. Yeah. Well, we'll get into Yumika's brother later. I'll just leave it at that. All right. Well, let's go into our Watt Sauce. Do you want to take LT's? You want me?
LT says, torturing the Whisperer guy just seemed like it was not really getting anywhere. And in fact, it was not getting anywhere. And then he says, you know, it's bad when Carol is the calm voice of reason. I would agree with that. And, I thought that I was really surprised to see Aaron, who's usually the calm one, who like actually goes to the extreme of having the walker bite the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty surprising. And then his next thing he says is, why didn't anyone think about going back to Hilltop before now?
I thought the same thing, and I ended up like removing my comment because I thought the same thing because I was like, wait, how much time has passed? And
not that long.
Right.
You would still think that they would go back.
Right. But that's where, because I started kind of questioning, I'm like, why are they being so boo-hoo-y about, like, oh, seeing their dead compatriots, because this is the WZA and this stuff happens. But then I started thinking about, like, oh, wait, it hasn't been that long. So
yeah, they still look pretty fresh.
Yeah. So, I mean, I kind of gave it a little bit, like, to not, like, try to comment on that because I was like, oh, it's still fresh. They're still dealing with stuff. Yeah, why didn't they go back to Hilltop before? And, you know, maybe because they're too busy trying to keep the walls up and there was not time to be, like, running around or whatever. So, I don't know. I gave them a pass for not going back sooner. All right. I'll go into my Watt Sauce, and this was just more of an observation. I'll just put it this way. It's like, so in the cold open, so like we know Alexandria is in ruins basically, but then you see the inside of the house that everybody was in, and like the walls were spotless. The floors looked like super clean. And it was like the only thing that seemed to be in poor condition was just the bit we could see from the window looking at Jerry going to the bathroom and not washing his hands. I don't know if you saw that or, you know, like if like go back and look at it, but it's like
plus everybody else looking dirty.
Yeah. It was like, it looked spotless. It looked like my home in Chicago when I first bought it. like it was a gut rehab and it's like, hey, it's like everything was perfect. There was no scratches on the wall. There was nothing. It's like, come on. Like you guys are just like barely surviving. This place looked pristine. And I just felt like that was a missed opportunity. Like they could have at least dirtied it up so that it would at least been, you know, at least would it added to them all sleeping in the same house because it's apparently the only house that is still standing. And I don't know. It just to keep up with the realism. It was like, that was, I don't know. Weak, lazy. I don't know. It was just like totally like, yeah, not good.
Is that what the deal was? That's the only house standing?
I mean, they're all in there sleep, or is that the house that all the kids are in? But regardless, it's like, just go back and look at it. It's like, it looks like a brand new house. Like there's the walls, like the paint on the wall is like, there's nothing wrong with it. The floor, like everybody's sleeping on, looks like a really nice, decent, like, you know, wood floor. And you're, you know, it's just the whole like, wait, there, that would not look like that at all, even.
Right.
So that was it.
Yep. Well, I had two things for what sauces that I've already said. So I don't have to say them.
All right. Well, let's go then into our sad and aw sauce.
Aww.
All right. First comes from Deanna from Detroit, and she says, Judith and Rosita, OMG, the scene had tears. Crying face. In my eyes. Poor Judith. Everybody's gone. My heartbreak emoji, just broke. Crying face. And I guess that's like a sneezing face or blowing my nose. She has been holding strong for so long, being the big sister to RJ, making sure she's safe, finally had to let it all out. Love how Herschel and Gracie tried to help Judith fix the wood, and their friend Rosita coming to mommy duty, helping Judith process her loss. Yep, I agree. I didn't really go more into that because I think everybody, this is pretty much everybody's like a little sad, but I would have to say that is like this scene was definitely the scene that made more sense to me than the previous scene with Big Bully calling her a psycho, you know, saying your mom left you, playing hand grab with the walker. So I'll just leave it at that.
Renee from Atlanta says, why would that little bully think it was okay to say that to Judith? Who is this kid anyway? Swearing face, and swearing face. Poor Aaron. Teary face, teary face. He's definitely gone down the rabbit hole. He was really torturing that whisperer, which personally, I felt sorry for the whisperers because they were brainwashed by Alpha to think our people were evil. And Aaron didn't help by torturing him like that. I was hoping they were going to offer to take them back with them. I know, we can't trust them, but they looked so disheveled and dirty. I felt sorry for them.
Hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
She felt sorry for them. I didn't feel sorry for them.
They made their bed.
That was my take. I felt sorry for the guy. I didn't feel sorry for the ones
in the cellar
that left, and especially the one that, like, you know, signaled to him to, you know, pick up the knife. I did not feel sorry for them at all. Why would that little boy break Judith's handprint sign with his bad ass? I can't wait till he gets bit.
Yes. Yes. Or Judith stabs him.
face palm and face palm hand. Or is that shrugging emoji? But no, I'm going to go with face palm face hand. Palm. Yeah. Judith walking away with tears in her eyes. And also when she was sitting down talking to Rosita about everyone leaving her, cry face and cry face. I can't see the first emoji. So that's what I said. Again, her mother leaving her and her little brother after she just lost her brother and father is definitely not believable. Most mothers I know would never, and I see Michonne as being most mothers. That's why I say suspension of disbelief. To me, that's where the episode got its name, because that scene was super intense. I boo-hooed like a big baby.
Yep. I have to agree. It was the better scene compared to the other stupid big kid school deal. I wish they did a lot of different things in this episode.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for your sad and awesome. So let's go into ours. LT, and he goes in and he says, Judith getting all angsty. And the state of the world, in quotes. Yeah, pretty much agree. I kind of like would think about, like, just about, because I still don't like the first scene with the kids too. Like, I love the last scene with the kids because I felt like that made more sense. You felt more of the, like, not the last scene with just her and Rosita, but the last scene with, oh, she finds the handprint, like, deal broken, and then, you know, the kids are like, or the big bully was like, I didn't do it, like, whatever, blah blah blah, and then everybody else kind of helps out. I don't know, to me that scene made more sense than the first scene. But I still, it's just like, I still like, it's I still want Judith to stab that kid. Like I want her to have a Carl moment, like prison Carl, like, you know, like she's badass enough and like been through so much, and she's a grime to be like. I just want her to stab that kid in the face. Just like, I'm not going to take it here. Poke, poke.
It's kind of funny. He reminds me, he's kind of like taken over for Gage as the kid that is going to get a very sorry death at some point. You know, he's gonna get a bad death, and there is nothing you can do about it. Yep. Now he's gonna fall in a long line of punk ass kids that die, like what was his name, Ron and Sam.
Yeah. I was like, and yeah. Well, which is why I'm like, I don't want Carol to be baking cookies. I want Judith to be stabbing him in the face, or like. Basically, he gets like bitten or like, you know, almost trapped, and she just kind of was like, "Up, oh, sorry, bye," and just walks away. Well, yeah. We'll see.
Help me.
Yeah. Sorry. I can't. You made fun of me and my mom. See ya.
Wouldn't want to be ya.
Yep.
Well, my sad sauce, I said it's sad to see the walls breached. Just, you know, something sad about seeing Alexandria being in that level of disrepair. It was sad to watch them put down their own people at Hilltop, and you could see it was affecting them. Mm-hmm. Like several of them, you know, there were people from that were former kingdom people because they had the padding and stuff. And then I said Judith this whole episode because she had a lot of sad moments.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So that's my sad sauce for today.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't, like, we all agree. Definitely. That's.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's get into our feedback.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right, we're going to start with Renee. She put in as her feedback, she said, I have not read the comics, so I'm not as enthused about Commonwealth as others may be. It reminds me of Woodbury and Mayberry all rolled into one. It seems pretty corny to me. Every time people try to act like the world outside is not full of zombies, you're playing with fire to me. Eventually, it always comes to an end. It has to be a happy medium, and I feel our people are the only ones that live in reality. Our people try to have some sort of normalcy without forgetting what's out there, still lurking. That's why I love when Judith was teaching the kids how to fight. This is the new normal. Yep, and I kind of liked that because it was kind of like taking a little bit of like what Carol did.
Yep.
Like she's always was there protecting the kids and then teaching the kids, and now Judith is doing the same thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep. The kids have to know how to defend themselves. Overall, the episode was okay. I really think I'm over The Walking Dead, or it just may be with COVID and everything that's going on in the world. It's hard to get excited about a fictional show. Like I said, I'm a diehard fan. And I'm in it to win it, but dang, I wish COVID would just go away and we could go back to being normal. I feel like I'm in The Walking Dead. crying face. You guys stay masked up and stay blessed, and I will continue to pray for you guys, and you guys continue to pray for me. Pray emoji. Peace and love. Big heart. Renee. Yes, we'll pray for you, and thank you for praying for us, and also, you know, we're all doing our job to, like, stay safe and,
yeah,
you know, do our part.
And, you know, there are just, I don't know, it's a crazy time we live in.
Yes, it's very crazy.
Things going on that I thought I would never see. Things going on that I thought I would never do. but I don't know. It's a crazy time we live in.
Yep. And if you all need a place to hold up, like, I don't quite have like a Herschel's farm, but I am in Southern Illinois. So just north of Paducah, you know, we're out in the country and we have guns. You can stay here anytime. You're not that far. Atlanta's not too far.
let's hope that there's no zombies that are coming out, like, you know.
Yes.
That'll be what happens to you after you get the booster shot or something. Okay. It's not even worth joking about.
Nope. Oh, well, at least we feel like we're a little bit more prepared. Just like a zombie apocalypse, we're prepared for the alien invasion. And I still don't understand, like, the whole, like, you know, the movie reality is different than our reality, because we've grown up with, like, seeing these movies that I'm like, okay, if an alien, like an Independence Day, comes to, like, you know, hover over our cities, I'm not going to stay there and look at it. I'm going to go out to the hills, or, like, you know, like, whatever, or a zombie. Like, I'm going to shoot in the head immediately, because that's what we all know what we're supposed to do.
Yep.
So anyways.
Well, Dieta had a comment to this one. She responded. She says, I totally agree about Michonne just leaving her kids like that. What mother would do that to their babies? I mean, I hate to say it, I know we all love Danny, but they should have found someone to take over her role on the show. Remember on the soap opera? Hey, I said that earlier and I wasn't even looking at what she said. Remember on the soap operas, how they would announce the role of such and such is now being played by such and such. Yes, I do. I do remember that. And if for some reason you weren't watching that day, you'd be like, huh? Because I seem to remember that even happening on, like, primetime soap operas, like, you know, like Dallas or something. I can't say for sure that that's true. But
Days of Our Lives, Bo and Luke were changed, I don't know how many times, over and over again, and then read back to the original actors. You know, it's like, okay, like, it was a whirlwind, but it was used.
Well,
to
look
it.
At, you know, look at, what's his name? Darren on Bewitched, you know, I mean, it's not unheard of, but I mean, I don't know. It's one of those things that's, it's like, Oh, I'm Michonne's sister, Lishone.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, I mean, I get.
Or Nishone.
But I get that it would be easy to do that, but there also is kind of like, you got your audience that has to kind of get, like, adjusted to it and being like, oh yeah, we've all been there. We've watched shows where it's like that happened, you know, and it's kind of like,
right.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I got to think about, like, no, that's the same person. It's almost kind of like that's something they could do that would be better done earlier. You know, like if Carl got switched out with another kid, then we'd be like, right. Okay, that makes sense. Or like, oh, we might not like it, but then we'll just get used to it. But then we would be here now and be like, okay, yeah, it's no big deal. But
yeah.
It's,
I mean, they did that in, as Renee knows, they did that on Game of Thrones with, Daria Maharis, right?
Yep.
He, you know, that character got changed. Was it three times or twice? I know for sure it was twice, but and I know that they did that. It wasn't just that character, but they did that with a few characters. Like, I know the king, the one king that wasn't the original kid that played the king.
Can't
think of the character's name.
Yeah,
the one that, you know, the son of
the anyway. Mom, the son, the young one that, like, yeah. Did that one?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, on Game of Thrones, they changed actors on several characters. It wasn't just one, it was several. And I know that it's happened a few times on Star Trek too. It doesn't happen that often on Star Trek, but I know, like, on Game of Thrones, it's happened many times. I don't know of it happening on Walking Dead. I mean, it may have happened, but I don't think it's happened to, like, other than, say, Judith, who it's definitely happened to, but not since she was, you know, this Judith.
Right. She was still a child, like still a baby.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the only examples I can think of is when it's been a kid.
I mean, it's a good point to make. And it is also, it's like, yes, the story would have gone a whole different place because, like, I know it's like they're, you know, I think it was said that Rosita is kind of playing more of the Andrea role in the comics now. And, you know, because Andrea is dead. But, you know, it's like they're adjusting to what comic book readers know of the story to what the TV show is doing because so many people are now not really in those places. You know, who knows? But it's what we're given.
And I know, you know, Michonne was playing the Andrea role as well, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was Andrea that had a relationship with Rick in the comic book and not Michonne. So, you know, but anyway. Getting back to it, I'm just saying it would have made for a more believable storyline. Shrug emoji. Also, loved your point about people acting like the world outside is not full of zombies is exactly playing with fire emoji, fire emoji. There has to be a happy medium. I agree. There has to be a happy medium.
All right. Well, next comes from actually Dieta's response goes into Dieta from Detroit's feedback. And she goes on, she says, oh my God, this episode was so much better. Love the cold open with Aaron having a nightmare about the wolves, the saviors, and the whisperers. Clearly, he is suffering from some form of PTSD.
Yeah, I have to say, I don't know if I said it effectively the first time. I love the cold open. I thought that was, we don't see them go into nightmares much on the show, but I really, really dug the cold open nightmare this time.
Yeah, and it's definitely like leads into a lot about what we end up seeing Aaron do later at Hilltop.
Right.
You know, he definitely cares for his family. He cares for, and actually, I'll just go and he was on The Talking Dead, and he went on to that. It's like this is, you know, he actually is the only out of, I think, him and two others of the original Alexandrians before Rick and all them showed up. So he did make a point. He was like, he's been there and has seen Alexandria basically go from being like, you know, this prosperous place to being now in tatters. So I could imagine having like a lot of PTSD and this like nightmare, you know, like dream of his, of all the people that he's basically had to face with his daughter there, you know, trying to protect, which could be, basically his daughter represents also Alexandria, his home that he's always been with. But I didn't really think about that before. That was like, oh my gosh, yes, he's been there since the beginning.
Yeah.
And he's still standing and he's watched this place go from being prosperous to barely surviving.
Yeah. And I guess the other one would be Scott.
Yeah.
Which we haven't seen Scott this season yet, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. All right. Well, Deanna goes on and says, the Commonwealth or dreams come true. I saw a train station, but where does it go? Are there other communities?
I was wondering that myself.
Yeah. I kind of got a little bit of a Hogsworth thing where it's like, okay, it doesn't really go anywhere. It's like an administration building. And so it's like it's just, that's just a building that's still standing and then they're just using it for something else. But I don't know. We'll see. Maybe there's a train unless they have to, I don't know what the word is.
Well, I mean, they met on at a train station. So maybe that's what they're using. Maybe they use the trains.
Yeah. But I didn't think it was functional. I thought it was just, it just, they used that building and it was kind of like, hey, it's a center building and we'll just use this as our, you know, administrative government facility.
I mean, if you think about it though, if you have, like coal or steam engine or something like that, that's something that would work in the, apocalypse.
Yeah, totally.
So it's possible where, you know, like cars wouldn't run anymore. A steam engine would. So they could be using it. So maybe they are using it.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. We'll just have to see. I didn't really kind of see it that way, but anyways.
Yeah.
She goes on. She says, we have a Connie signing from the Lost Whispering Whisper, missing fingers. Thanks to Aaron. Carol getting advice, shock face, thinking emoji on going to a dark place. Love it. Aaron needs to take a step back and whoosha. But hell, can you really blame him? I would have had PTSD too after dealing with all them psychos. Plus, the non-existent time jump just makes you think the Whisperers just left last week. Now, here comes the Reapers. No time to recover from the last battle. Agreed. I still think the Reapers deal is just annoying. Eugene and Princess share an ice cream. Hey, I guess sharing is caring. Shrug, shrug. Maggie and Negan, nothing to say, but these two are nails on chalkboard. Yes. I don't see them ever coexisting. Again, why did he go on this mission if not going to see it through? He's been saying, let's turn back since he left Alexandria. What a wuss. Big bad Negan, the killer of Alpha, is a big scary cat. Starting to believe he did it on purpose to sabotage Maggie and work on her nerves. Over it already. Yeah, and I'm over the fact that I just heard about this whole shipping them. I don't understand that, but they brought it up on Talking Dead, and I'm like, I
think that anyone that would say that is just, I don't know. There's something wrong with them.
Yeah. Well, then also it's like, I don't understand why they even brought it up on Talking Dead. Like, I was just like, if this is like maybe just like a small, like, you know, thing that, like, I can understand, you know, the people of every show, people are probably, you know, you watch Doctor Who, they're shipping Doctor Who with who knows who, and an alien, you know, like whatever. It's like that happens because, you know, fans will say stuff and do this, but it was just like, why did you give it this, like,
why'd you give it exposure?
Right. And why did you make a point or even like offer it as a thing to being like, okay, well, please don't make this a thing, please.
I think a lot of that is because it's like the same people that get attracted to mass murderers, you know, like, and it's like, you know, oh, I like the bad boy. And but you're not going to be romantically involved with the killer of your husband.
Right.
Right. Especially whose husband was killed in the brutal way that Glenn was killed. In front of you, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
It wasn't just that he was killed. He was killed right directly in front of you. So, you know, she has every right not to ever forgive him.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't, you know, we should understand that.
Right. I think we understand that. Our listeners understand that.
But there's some people that just, you know,
yeah.
Or they say, oh, they look good together, you know?
Yeah, just like, ugh. Okay, anyways, enough. I'm over it already too, Deanna. So, all right. Well, she goes on and says, overall, much better episode than last week. How do we only have 3 episodes left, though? We were getting more episodes before it ends for good.
We are.
Yeah, it's just this is the break.
Yeah, there are 24 episodes in this season. So there's 8, followed by 8, followed by 8. So we are just had episode 5, so there are 19 more.
Yep.
So rest assured, we've still got lots of Walking Dead left. but it's essentially what they've done all along with two half seasons of eight, but this time it's three half seasons of eight.
Right. And then so, we're also getting like Fear and World Beyond and then everything else all at the same time. This is the big push of like catch up with like, I think every show because of COVID and all that stuff.
Right.
It's like, we're like, oh no. Like fall was going to be like the smorgasbord of like every show is back now that we can be back. And so we know because we're going to be having multiple Walking Deads going on at the same time with Discovery, with like everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, like literally, two podcasts will be covering two. Well, that's not true actually. But The Walking Dead will be covering two shows at a time.
Yeah.
Plus on the Star Trek Star Trek side of the podcast, network, there'll be actually three Star Trek podcasts going on at the same time, although one's covering an old show. Two are new. So there'll be a lot going on.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah. So Renee, she had a quick response to Dieta's comments. She just said, and Prince and Eugene sharing an ice cream was icky too. Rolling over eye face. You're right. I am Negan needs to go somewhere. He's such a wuss. Swearing face, cursing face. And thank you so much, Dieta, for that.
Yeah.
And Renee for the response.
All right. Glynis from Toronto is next. Do you want to just split this up? Because she had a lot to say.
Okay. Yes. I will start it off and I will say, now Aaron is acting like Rick Grimes did with Aaron in season 5, episode 11, The Distance, with distrust of a stranger. Although, yes, in Aaron's defense, it is, after all, a whisperer. His mind's not in a good place anyway with all that nightmare scene of not being able to protect Gracie from the walkers, wolves, and maze. A good episode to bring back, The Distance. That was, just prior to them actually arriving at Alexandria. And, you recall, how much they tried to push Aaron that particular episode, and Rick had his like very bushy beard at the time, and that's back when the show was classic. But yeah, like you say, his mind wasn't in a good place, and he's just worried about the next one, who's gonna,
he's looking at.
Yeah. And the thing is, he doesn't even know really much about the Reapers. I don't know how much she shared with them about the Reapers before they left. I'm imagining she did, but so he probably knows, but he doesn't have any firsthand knowledge of them.
Yeah.
The torture tactics done on that whisperer reminded me of the governor when he pitted tied up walkers or biters to keep the two fighters within the perimeter. Like when the governor made Daryl and Merle fight in the walker ring in Woodbury in The Walking Dead season 3, episode 9, The Suicide King. Again, another way back reference. It's funny. I haven't gone back and watched early seasons of The Walking Dead in a very long time. It's been quite a few years. And it's funny because, for the first, I'd say 8 seasons, I went back over the, over the summer and would watch the whole season over, all like 6 or 7, whatever, how many seasons there were, over again. And, the last several, I just don't have time. I just haven't had time to go back and watch the show, but I miss doing that.
Yep, agreed.
Back when I only covered one show.
when life was a little less busier.
Yes. Carol recognizes and identifies where Aaron is headed down the road of violence and the point of no return, and so ends the Whisperer Walker torture. Yeah, it was mentioned earlier about Carol being like the voice of reason, and it just goes to show you, you know, for of all people to recognize that Carol, you know, because she last season she pretty much went off her rocker, and you know, it's that's true.
Yes, she's not doing it. Look at the flowers of the walker, Carol.
Yeah. And it's funny, she mentioned something else that we were kind of talking about earlier. What is in the air in Alexandria that creates these bullies? Glenn and Noah had it with Nicholas and Aiden Monroe. Carl had it with Ron Anderson, and Lydia had it with the bullies who attacked her. And now another set of bullies now to hassle Judith. Judith reminded me of Arya Stark in Game of Thrones. The way that Judith welded her sword could also be called needle here. Yeah, Arya Stark's sword was called needle on Game of Thrones. And caused that bully to freeze with the tip of the sword inches from his face. So cowardly of that bully to break the handprints made with Carl, but as with the other bullies in The Walking Dead, it won't end well with any of them. They should stay well clear of Judith if they know what's good for them. Teasing that walker, Jeffrey Dean Morgan's son, Gus, by the way, like Aiden Monroe and Nicholas used to do for fun when they went out on the road. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did do that, didn't they? Yeah.
I was just thinking, it's like when you just said, it's like, oh, as with other bullies in The Walking Dead, it won't end well for any of them. And I wanted to play this. Yep.
Yep.
I hope that happens, because that bully should not be treating Judith like that. Again, I still wish Judith did something and pulled a Carl, but it is what it is.
Yep.
All right, well, she continues on. She says, I think Maggie gets even more anti-Negan because what he says about their situation rings true. You know, just go against everything he says just because he's Negan. But of course, Maggie seems to be right to stay put when Gabriel and Elijah rock up. Yeah, I kind of, like, I left a lot of my comments out of talking about just even Maggie and Negan's, like, whole little, like, scenes going on. But, you know, besides the whole shipping thing, which I don't understand, I do feel a little bit like, you know, Negan had some good points, and Negan was kind of being almost kind of like, you know, Maggie, don't let your, what, you know, what you're trying to do to, you know, help Alexandria with like cloud your judgment as being the leader. But, you know, she was saved by the bell. When, you know, she's like, no, we're saying, you know, we're staying. And then Gabriel and Elijah Rock, you know, come up. And then, of course, Gabriel is just like, no, we're just going to stay and wait for everybody else. And it was like, oh, Negan, like, I don't feel that he's wrong with what he said, though. You know,
I don't think he's wrong either.
Yeah, I feel like he was being pragmatic and being like, hey, I'm addressing it by how the situation feels and the information that I'm getting, this and that. And Negan also is a survivor, and he also knows when to quit. You know, he's all like, hey, you know, I'm like, cut my losses. And, you know, that's not great, because if they took off, Gabriel and Elijah would have been just sitting there being like, hey, what are we doing? And then, you know, they could be in trouble just because of that. But, you know, anyways, I'll just leave it at that. Goes on to say, flutter those eyelashes, Mercer. Princess digs them. Smiley face. Yep. Ice cream cones and cupcakes? What is really under the surface at the Commonwealth? Mercer and co. are playing with the group and allowing them into society so that Eugene especially will spill the beans on Alexandria, which now has come to pass with radioing Alexandria. They must have been monitoring them the whole time. And is there video surveillance too, then, with the radio exchange recorded? So the Commonwealth also wants to evict citizens like Alexandria did when rules are broken?
Yeah.
I'll go into it later, because I kind of had that a little bit of a comment about like Tommy, like Yumiko's brother, that whole exchange, but not really thinking about like, oh yeah, we see a video. Do they have like closed circuit TV? You know, like do they actually have like you know, surveillance cameras and not just, you know, what capabilities do they have? I mean, we do know that they're, according to them, 50,000 strong, you know, like, and, you know, they're not a small, like, establishment, so.
Right.
Yumiko's brother, Tommy. All I could hear was the Hawaii Five-O intro when I saw him, but I suppose I'll get used to the change of characters from being Adam Noshimura, the former kick-ass leader of the Japanese Yakuza, and then part of the Five-O McGarrick team. Now baking, my, a character change for sure.
See, I had something in my notes about him because I never watched that show, but I know him from another show, The Event. And I have to bring up The Event because, as all of you know, a big feature in this podcast is my featuring the ratings. Well, you can blame The Event for that. it was that show that got me following the ratings so intently that I started charting them and all that stuff that I do for The Walking Dead. So, because in that case, it was having a rating struggle, and unfortunately, it did not survive. It was canceled after the first year to a cliffhanger ending. Mm-hmm. And but he was in that show.
Yep.
And it was a great show, actually, but didn't make past season one.
All right, well, lastly, she says, at least some of them know that Connie is still alive, but we'll probably have to wait an age of Sundays for Daryl, Kelly, Yumiko, and the pessimistic Magna to get to know that fact. With them all split up as is usual practice with The Walking Dead, the audience wants to shout that fact out loud to the various characters. And I have to say, nope, if you watch Talking Dead, next episode, we get to see Connie. And it looks really, really good and scary and stressful. And I don't have to wait long. It's next week. Excited. And then also, okay, Rumine had a response. She said, I agree with you about Judith reminding you of Arya Stark. And then she said, hug emoji, hug emoji, hug emoji. Sick them with the pointy end. Man, I miss Game of Thrones. All right, well, thank you all for all your feedback. So let's just go into ours. And we some of this we kind of probably hit on, so I'll, you know, we'll just go back and forth or whatever. But, you know, LT was saying something about like he thought the video reminded him of Thea's tapes and Fear, and I thought it reminded me of Otto from Fear.
Yeah, and as soon as you said that, I'm like, that's the one, because I was thinking Althea as well, and then when you said that, and I saw that you said that, I was like, yeah, that's what it is. It's not Althea. It was Otto's tapes. They were the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
It felt very similar to Otto's tapes.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just like the tree, like basically it's like you're looking up like an old, you know, VHS recording, like there's static and all that kind of other stuff. But then also like what he was saying is like, hey, come down to my farm or my ranch, or, you know, it's like, or like talking about all that. It was just, that's immediately what I first thought. It was like, oh yeah, it's the same kind of thing, which I was very surprised that no one on The Talking Dead mentioned that. And I'm like, okay, do you even watch the other show, or are you just like, I only watch The Walking Dead? Cause maybe I'm just the only one. So it was the very first thing.
No, I mean, you're right. And Otto should have been one that, you know, the one that we're all thinking of, or that you're thinking of, is, was called Teotwaki.
Yeah.
And that I think that was the end of the world as we know it is what it stood for.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, fear will be coming back soon.
Yeah, just not that version of fear.
Nope. New one. The next thing was like they are using U.S. currency. Like Stephanie paid for the ice cream and she had this $5 bill. And I was kind of like, oh, it looks like the redesigned $5 bill. But then I looked it up and it was like that was released in 2008. So I was like, okay, that's not like some, you know, continuity like error or whatever. It was like, okay, yes, that actually was the legal tender before the fall at 2010. But that opens up the discussion that you, or like the thing that you said, that's like, oh, Daryl fell in that briefcase full of money and right. He could come in there and like just totally wreck their whole entire economy. And the fact that it was like, you know, it wasn't like a, you know, they didn't hide the fact. It wasn't like highlighted or nothing, but the fact that she's like, okay, here's ice cream from the ice cream woman truck, and she's paying for it with U.S. currency. And it's like, all right, I don't know if that's anything in the comic about that. Like, I have no idea. Like, I keep coming back to the comic just because we're at the part, this is the end of the comics.
Right.
So it's like, okay, well, are they following this fairly to the T? Like, are these things that we're seeing are, you know, like, is this part of it? But just that was the first thing I saw. And I started thinking about your comment and also what we saw in the subway. And I'm like, okay, Daryl is going to go in there and wreck their economy. Like,
yep.
That might be a thing.
Yeah. And that was the either wreck the economy or suddenly, you know, show up and be the richest man, you know, be the Jeff Bezos of the Commonwealth. It reminds me of that cheesy, really cheesy Next Generation episode, the Royale, where they're at that place in the middle of like nowhere, and there's a casino, and they get trapped into this place that's like made up from this old book. And they realize that the only way they can get out is to play the characters that are in this awful book. And so, you know, they make enough money at this casino to buy the place out. And that's kind of what I'm thinking, you know. You know, Daryl's going to come by him and he's, I'm going to buy this place.
Oh, well, see, this is where I was like, and I had to look, like, go back, and it's like, okay, wait, the governor's name is Pamela Milton. So, right. So is Daryl going to show up with his bag of money and be like, hey, I'm Milton Bradley with his top hat? I mean, I don't know. I just told. Milton, okay.
And she won't be the first Milton that we've had, right? Because wasn't that science guy in the governor? Wasn't that Milton?
Yep, that was Milton. And that guy played a really bad serial killer on Chicago PD that I actually just saw a few days ago. I'm doing a rewatch.
Dallas Roberts. Mm-hmm. Dallas Roberts, who I believe is one character on The Walking Dead that never went to cons. I don't think he's ever gone to any of the cons. But anyway, that's what I was thinking, is that that has to play into this. It has to.
No, right, because there was an actual camera pan look, and it was like made kind of a point that there was money there, and then now we're seeing money being used. So we'll see.
And you know, and of course, I don't remember specifically what he tried to say to Rosita, but it would have, you know, if he'd said like, "Oh, they got money here," or something. That would have been a dead giveaway.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll go on to my other points. Like, I kind of, I don't know. I started writing this now. It's like, because Stephanie was just talking about how like slow stuff is. We saw that, like, you know, King Ezekiel and maybe princess or whatever, like they were like, oh, we're trying to speak the supervisor or whatever, it's like, oh, it could be 3 weeks. And Stephanie was talking about, it's like, oh yeah, it's like, I could get you up there, but it might take this long, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, I was like saying, it's like obviously they had, the Commonwealth has this government structure. But then I started thinking, I was like, is there any connection with the CRM in this? Because like, I don't see how, like, and also we're like dealing with the time difference, maybe. I don't know. It's like if the Commonwealth is this huge, like big structure, organization, survivors, blah, 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 that's been there since the beginning, from what we've learned from Tommy, that it's like, okay, well, then where does CRM fit in? And also, you know, it's like, are they entirely a different group, or is this like a wing of like the Commonwealth? You know, like, I don't know. To me, I'm like, wait, where is this? What's going on here? Because we know the CRM has to do with the movies that is going to come for, you know, soon. And how does this fit? I don't know.
We know that the CRM, you know, or not the CRM per se, but there are three. There were three. And from what we thought we knew, one was Portland, one was Omaha, and one was the Civic Republic, wherever the hell they are. And it doesn't seem that the Civic Republic becomes the Commonwealth. I mean, it's possible. So, but it also makes you wonder, it's like, well, how could they possibly know, how could they not know of each other? And the only thing that I can think of is that, you know, maybe they look at them and say they can't, they're too strong or something like that. So, you know, maybe, I just don't know. It's, I imagine that we're going to get that answer before the end of the season, but I don't know. It just doesn't. There's something about it that doesn't make a lot of sense. They would have to know each other. They would have to.
Right, right. That's right. And that's where, that was what was kind of popping in my head, though. It's like, wait. It's like, where are we in the timeline then on the shows? Like, you know, I'm like we
know. I can answer that.
Okay.
The walking of the three shows, I believe the timeline is Walking Dead, World Beyond, and Fear the Walking Dead, in that order. So I think the furthest ahead is The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. And that's maybe 11, 12 years in. World Beyond is, you know, around 10 years in, and Fear is maybe 5 to 6 years in at this point. But that one's a guess. It's not much more or much less than that, but it's anywhere from, like, you know, 4 to 7, I guess, years in. But it would definitely be the earliest of the three. So in that case, it would mean that the CRM or the Civic Republic exists in the Fear timeline, and it continues to the World Beyond timeline. But, you know, whether it's gone into the Walking Dead timeline and the Commonwealth, I don't know.
Yeah, but that right. So, I mean, I don't know. That's the whole weird disconnect, because Rick Grimes got taken by the CRM, and that's where the movies are going, and that's where we see Trash Woman.
Right. You
know, and yet this is also still part of The Walking Dead, even though The Walking Dead is much further along. And also CRM, yes, they have their other places, but they also, weren't they looking in World Beyond for their dad in upstate New York? And
yes.
So it's like, and then Yumiko's brother Tommy said that he fled Chicago and then like ran out of gas 20 miles north of the Commonwealth, and then that's where, you know, he ran into people and then like had been living there this whole entire time. So yeah, I'm like, there's got to be some connection, but you know, this is new, obviously not comic related, and you know, I'm just trying to figure out where does this all fit in and come together. But I guess we'll find out. That's that's the whole point.
Yeah.
But then it's, oh, anyways, I'll just move on. Talk about this for way too long. The next thing, which I actually just kind of brought up, was just like, but we've talked, you already mentioned some of the stuff was about the exchange with Yumiko and her brother Tommy.
Right.
Because, you know, he tells her about how he got there and it was pretty much early on. But then when she asked him about being a surgeon, he like shut her down like immediately. It was just like, to me, that made me feel like it's like did he keep information from the Miltons or whoever so that he could bake cakes? Like, you know, like he never revealed that he was, you know, a thoracic surgeon. And, you know, like is he scared of something? And they talked about this on The Talking Dead, but they talked about it more in the thought that it was like that he was happy and he didn't want his big sister to ruin it for him. But I didn't get that from that scene at all. I felt more like he was like, okay, sister, don't screw this up. Like, I don't want them to know that what I do, because otherwise they'll put me down into the mines and work.
I mean, you know, maybe he hated being a surgeon, you know, maybe it was too stressful for him or something like that. I don't know, but you know, I mean, of course they would put him as a surgeon if, you know, he was a surgeon, but, you know, like how often do they need surgery, you know, in this, I mean.
Well, true. That's a good point.
But the only thing I could think of where they would probably, I mean, there'd be certain, you know, certain things they would need to do surgery for, but I would think the most major thing that would come up most often would be amputations. You know,
yeah.
When someone's bitten, right? Which comes up in this episode. But, you know, and aside from that, I mean, what else are they going to do? I don't know. Are they going to, you know, operate on cancerous tumors? Well, in Ezekiel's case, they probably will do it, and he would be the guy to do it, and that makes me think, you know, well, and okay. So what I'm about to say is I don't want someone to be offended by what I'm going to say. What I'm saying is for humor. Cancer is a serious thing. I've had friends and my mother die of cancer. So please don't hate me for saying this, but maybe, his tumor will be operated on by Dr. Pimple Popper. because she would be the only one that would be able to do it if he's not going to be a surgeon. But anyway.
It's a giant lipoma.
Oh, look who just arrived.
He snuck back in. Oh, welcome, LT. Well, glad to have you back. Missed a lot of, lots of good discussion. Well, I don't know if you were already at your end or if we should just, if I don't know what LT wants to join.
Well, I want to, I know, but I've got to throw this out here since Brian was talking about it. I think we're way overthinking Yumiko's brother.
Okay.
I think that it's not the fact that he's a thoracic surgeon and he's making cakes and he's happy. I think what would happen is they would find out he lied. I think it's got nothing to do with his actual skill set. I think it's the fact that he lied would get him kicked out.
That could be.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because, I mean, it seems like, you know, our people lied too. So,
and that's, that to me is the big thing is I think what we're going to find out is the seamy, dirty underbelly of the nice white picket fences and the ice cream stand is they don't put up with dissent, and they're basically looking for reasons to kick people out.
As a way of control.
And if they found out that he's a surgeon and he's been lying all this time, I think the deal was that is a more valuable skill, and it's like he's been holding back.
Absolutely, he's been holding back.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be more of it. It's not the fact that he doesn't really want to be a surgeon and he's really happy making cakes, in my opinion. I think it's the fact that, well, you lied on your application, sir.
Well, yeah. That's what's interesting is he said he was there almost since the beginning, but mm-hmm. I could also see, because I don't, then to me, it makes me think that it's like, it wasn't like he was applying. He was just like, you know, there in the beginning, but I could see that if he withheld, that's why I was saying, I was like, he's hiding something. And if they found out that he's been withholding his real, like, true skill that they could have used, then they'd be like,
yep.
Okay. And he says, everything's great if you follow the rules. And they might be really right. Rule stickler. They're being like, oh, yeah, you broke the rules. So banish, mm-hmm. off with your head.
Yeah.
Yep. And see, that's why I'm thinking, too, let's jump in the Wayback Machine and think about when, and of course, I can't remember her name, but what's her face that was in charge of Alexandria?
Deanna.
I want to
say, okay, Deanna. Yeah.
Who's Deanna?
Who's Deanna? But remember how she was very asking a lot of questions and being really, you know, bureaucratic and probative. So I just have a feeling it's, no matter how long he'd been there, I think that that's in their fundamental DNA.
Yeah. It's Pamela Milton. All right. Well, do you have anything else to, like, do you have any, I don't know if, like, how we want to do this. Like, just, you have any other feedback? I don't know if we've kind of go over stuff. If you had any kind of points.
I mean, hopefully you guys read my stuff.
Yeah, we did read your stuff.
Good. So, no, just the box, like I said, the big box score is, like I'd said, whenever Aaron is taking his dark turn, whenever Carol ends up being the voice of reason, you know that you've gone way off the reservation. I'm still kind of sad and pissed off about the whole Judith and the bully arc.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I keep going, you know, your brother dealt with a kid like that, and what did it get him?
Shot in the face.
Shot in the face. Of course, Beanie Boy got eaten, if I remember correctly.
Yes, he did.
Yep.
And his brother got eaten horribly.
Well, his brother was a horrible. Well, anyway, I like the episode. I think that it's going to be interesting to see where we go with this. As I have said before about another series that we have all talked about, they're making their approach and they're running out of runway. So I really hope they can get the wheels down and stick the landing with all the things they have in flight right now. I think the only other thing that I wanted to mention was with the Commonwealth stuff and with the Aaron stuff, it seems like that, you know, Negan and Maggie are almost the C plot now.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, we'll be back. We'll be back with Pope and the Reapers before too much longer and see where that's going.
Oh, but next episode, I think, is going to be great. I'm very excited because I think I don't know if I'll just leave it at that. But if you saw the preview from The Talking Dead,
it
was literally like I already mentioned, but it was just like Quiet Place Part 3. And mm-hmm. I was literally like, oh my gosh, I'm in so suspense and like I'm stressed. And I'm like, this, I don't know. It looks amazing. So let's hope. And it's about Connie.
Yes. And I'm excited to see that because we need some Connie story.
Yes.
And for the second time this season, I did not see Talking Dead. So, role reversal again.
Well,
it was a good episode.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it was actually. Yeah. Well, you have ASM Plus, so you can watch the episode now.
Yeah, I know. I didn't have time. This week was particularly challenging for me.
No,
on multiple levels. So yeah, so I didn't. I just didn't get a chance.
Nope, all good.
I think the only thing that I hadn't said with my notes is that we now know that they, you know, we mourn the loss of the horsey, but it appears that we have to mourn the losses of all the horsey because according to what Rosita said, she said, what's left of the horses were made into jerky. So that tells me that all of the horses were used for food and not for riding.
Yep. Oh, poor horses.
Yeah. I guess all horses on this show get eaten, whether it's by walker or by human.
Yeah.
We can add that to our list. It's not good to be a doctor.
Or a horse.
Or a horse. Yeah.
And sometimes dogs, but we've only seen that really once. But
once is enough.
Yep. All right. Well, let's go into our news, ratings, and info.
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
In ratings this week, ratings are up. Walking Dead, Season 11, Episode 5, got a 0.51 in the 18 to 49, with 1.914 million viewers. That is up from last week's 0.46 in the 18 to 49, and 1.884 million viewers. So, yay. However, well, in the 25 to 54, it was up. 0.71 versus 0.67. However, in the 50 and over, the least coveted demographic that two of the three hosts of the show fall into, Walking Dead was a 1.01 in the 50 and over, slightly down from last week's 1.06. These happen for some reason. Much like with the main show, Talking Dead was also a mixed bag in ratings. It got a 0.14 in the 18 to 49 with 657,000 viewers. That is up in the demographic with a 0.12 last week, but down from a total of 700,000 viewers. I didn't write down the 25 to 54 and 50 and over, so. Oh, well. Parrots. The parrots show that The Walking Dead's demand expressions were down another notch this week. It went from number 3 to number 4 in the U.S. at 49.3 times the demand expressions of the average show. Down from 53.3 times last week. Perennial SpongeBob is up from up with 78.6 times the average show, up from 76.7 last week. Jumping 5 notches from number 7 last week to number 2 is Saturday Night Live with 53.2. times, up from 45.4 times last week. Obviously, I would assume that there was a new Saturday Night Live.
I didn't watch it. But
yeah. So, you know, that usually happens.
Yep.
Although we still have no explanation why SpongeBob is so popular.
SpongeBob rules the internet, apparently.
At least in the U.S. All right. That is it as far as ratings. I do not have anything else, so.
Well, all right, LT, you want to tell everyone how to interact with us?
I do. And we want to encourage you to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. That's at WalkingDeadTTM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group. That's facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadTTM. You can send us email. That's WalkingDead@TalkThroughMedia.com. You can also use our feedback forum on our website. That's TalkThroughMedia.com/feedback. You can leave us voicemail if you call 216-232-6146. All of our new episodes go out to YouTube first. Just search for Talk Through Media and remember to subscribe and click the bell to get notified when we have new videos. Those videos go out before they go to the regular podcast syndication. However, you know what's coming next. If you're a patron, you get them before anyone else.
Yep, and to support us, like and review the Talk Through Media Facebook page at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. And as LT was saying, the best way you can support us is through our Patreon. And you can find that at patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. But we do have some feedback from one of our Patreon, Clint McCollum. He says, "Hey guys, I haven't had a chance to watch this week's episode, but I did want to say how much I enjoy getting the early Patreon-only feed for the show. Both Walking Dead and Star Trek feeds. It has been great to know it is there after my wife and I have watched the latest episode. Keep up the great work and can't wait for more Patreon content." Clint, I'm glad you're enjoying it, and you know, definitely keep us updated with any kind of feedback you might have. It's like we're trying to get these things out, and you know, as messy as it might sound when you're listening to it, it's like, hey, it's like, get it to you first.
That's part of the charm.
No, it is. It's like you can hear us how we like make the sausage, and it's not always pretty.
and that proves that your patronage has benefits.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we definitely would like to thank all our other Patreon supporters, Remy Miller, Lawrence Todd over there, and me, Kyle McAdams. And we also, guess what? I have a new Patreon supporter, Deanna Patterson. Yay! Welcome, yay. Deanna. Thank you so much. And you're like great feedback. Love to have you on board. Thank you for supporting us.
Thank you so much, Deanna. You've been a longtime supporter of this podcast. It's fantastic to have you on board as a Patreon member. So
yep. And also remember that Deanna, Clint, and Renee will be getting the early version of this episode this week. I hope to have it out not too long after we record tonight. It'll probably be in the morning, but you will get it soon. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or your podcast client of choice. And while you're there, give us a rating or review. You can also leave us a review at podchaser.com. There you can actually rate individual episodes or the whole podcast. Also, remember to share our posts on Facebook and Twitter when we post them, or tell a friend. Word of mouth is the best way to get us new listeners. All right. Where else can we be listened to, Brian? I'll let you take over.
Well, the three of us, we've all been doing it because sometimes Kyle hasn't been able to get on. Sometimes LT hasn't been able to get on. So, but I'm always hosting it there. So, but it's either all of us or two of us are there to cover Star Trek Lower Decks as part of the Star Trek Lower Decks podcast, which is a part of both the Star Trek Picard cast feed and the Star Trek Discovery podcast feed. Right now we have covered up to season 2, episode 6 with season 2, episode 7 coming out in a few hours from now. So Friday night or Saturday morning we'll be recording that one. So sometime this weekend, hopefully. I was a little late getting out the both the Patreon feed and the regular feed this week. But hopefully this weekend, the early access Patreon feed will be out. And that, you know, has been making it faster to get out the regular feed. That is a benefit, but normally it comes out like a day or two before the regular feed. So, and it's the same with this feed. So anyway, that and more. In fact, I put a poll out there for Patreon supporters on that feed just today, to see if they had any other suggestions, things they would like to see. That can be gotten to just going by talkthroughmedia.com and Star Trek Discovery Podcast.com. You can also get to it straight away. The Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/ Star Trek TTM Podcasts. And the Patreon is at patreon.com/ Brian and Ruthie. Next episode is The Walking Dead Season 11, Episode 6, titled On the Inside, with the, as we've heard many times now, Connie is back. And that's written by Kevin Diebold, directed by Greg Nicotero. And the description, according to YouTube TV, I guess Kyle grabbed this off of YouTube. Escaping from walkers, Connie and Virgil hide in a house occupied by mysterious creatures. Mysterious creatures? Pope Tess Darrell's loyalty to the Reapers with a conflicting mission. Kelly leaves Alexandria in search.
Dot, dot, dot. That was all I had, and I couldn't get more.
So, until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm LT.
And this is The Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.